Morning.
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 Actually, my message was already 2 weeks ago when Steve said he had a DC spell. So I got myself ready just in case. The official version of the accident is she went to work on Thursday morning and she slipped on the ice and fell and broke the wrist, you know. But that's an unofficial version. Actually, we were sparring with one another. We were practicing our kung fu. And after about 40 years of practicing, I finally mastered the iron fist. And she just happened to do a palm-up block on that one. So she got hurt. So, sorry, G. But I'm truly amazed at what she can do with just one hand. She did a full load of laundry yesterday. Wow, it was a work, you know, crazy woman. And this morning she said, stand by, just in case I need your help, you know. So I was downstairs, you know, getting breakfast ready and getting ready for church. And she did call once, you know. So I quickly rushed to the first step. Ah, no, I don't need you anymore. I'm fine. And this morning, with the refreshment over there, so I did offer her the chance of going shopping with me. You know, usually she's the one who pick out the goodies, right? And then I was doing it myself, so I saw that was good. In the shopping cart, I go, this is good. In the shopping cart, I go. And this morning, when I cut the kielbasa, I said, ooh, I should keep it nice and thick. You know, this is the man's side portion, right? So everything is nice and thick. Look at it. Almost everything is finished this morning. So I hope she will put me on her schedule, you know. In the restaurant business, the worker assumes various roles for the business to run smoothly. Everyone has different responsibilities. They are the host or hostess, taking you to your table or seat. They will provide you with the menu and maybe tell you about the special of the day and who your server will be. They are the waiter or waitresses to take your order and serve your meal and drink. They are kitchen staff to prepare the food before they are cooked. They are the cooks to prepare and cook your food from appetizer to main courses to desserts. They are the busboy and busgirl to clean your table after your meal. They are the dishwasher who wash the dishes, forks and knives, pots and pans. For you to have a great dining experience, everyone has to fulfill their roles completely and work as a team flawlessly. Flawlessly. In the church, the family of God, we are given also different roles to play. The Bible tells us that God has a plan and purpose for each one of us. God does not give you an assignment and leave you out in the cold to fend for yourselves. He always provides you the wisdom, strength, and ways for you to perform your duties. We are not to seek our own glory and honor. Scripture reminds us that we are to work together for common goals. If you have your Bible ready, let's turn to Ephesians. We're going to read chapter 4, verse 1 to 12. Before I came up here, Kurt was kind of worried about, well, what hymns should I pick, you know. And I assured him, whatever you pick is going to be fine. Of course, 332, I was jiving with what happened this morning, you know. When Steve gave out 318, I stand amazed. That word just captured me right away, you know. The two songs that automatically came into my head was Amazing Grace, which is 332 we sung, and also 37, you know, Amazing Love. Those are the two that we sung. And when he started out the service this morning with 3:39, verse 2 is the message that I'm speaking on. Love lifted me, the second stanza. All my heart to him I give, ever to him I cling. In his blessed presence live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best song. Faithful, loving service to him belong. Thank you, Kurt, for painting that in. Now, if you got Ephesians open at chapter 4, we're going to read from verse 1 to 12. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Each member is of equal importance in God's eye. We are all sinners in need of his grace. We are all judged by the same absolute standard of God's holiness. We are not to differentiate between the members and the role each one plays. There should be no looking down and despising. There should be no division. It is important to be united in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14 to 27. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? Now have God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again to the head, to the feet, or the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more these members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. Verse 23. And those members of the body, which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. As Christians, we have numerous roles to play. This morning, I'm going to preach on the roles of Christians. I'm going to speak on five of them. To help us to remember them, I have used the letter S. They are sower, seeker, servant, soldier, and sojourner. The five roles that I'm talking about are not optional. I'm not giving you a menu so you can choose and pick which one or ones you want to play. God is impartial. He has given the same five basic roles to perform regardless how long you have been a Christian. Once you have proclaimed Christ as Lord and Savior, you are to carry out these roles. Role number one, sower of the gospel. We are to sow the seeds of the gospel. It is the commandment from the Lord. Mark 16:15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Matthew 28:19-20, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Our Lord Jesus used a parable to teach us all the possible results that we might encounter. When we preach the gospel to others, there might be flat out rejection. There might be embarrassing ridicule. There might be warm and sincere acceptance. We are to discern the various sowing conditions. We are to sow and leave the result to the Lord. Luke 8:5-15. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit in hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, seeing, what might this parable be? And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Verse 13. They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. Though we are to leave the results to God, there is one law of sowing and reaping that is always true. 2 Corinthians 9:6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. The law commands his follower sowing the seed of the gospel. The apostle Paul explained the reason and importance of preaching the gospel to non-believers. Romans chapter 10, verse 14 to 17. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who have believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As I have stated earlier, we're not to seek glory and honor in sowing or nurturing or harvesting. All honor and glory should go to God, because he is the one who gives the increase. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 to 8. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, and hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollo water, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Verse 8. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Rule number 2, seeker of truth. We are to be seeker of truth. From the scriptural standpoint, there are two ways of looking at truth. Truth can be a person. John 14, 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Truth can be just words. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Why do we need to seek the truth? John 8:32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We need to set aside time each day to know God. He should receive the highest priority in our lives. We should not try to squeeze him in, if we can, between our busy schedules or at the end of the day. We need to be away from all distractions. Psalm 46, be still and know that I am God. Do not seek the truth based on your own effort. Prayer should be the first step to claim the following promises of God to all his children. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. And also James 1, verse 5 and 6, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. What are the benefits of seeking the truth? Truth should be our guide map, mirror, and standards. We need to be equipped with God's word. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We are to learn what we are like. We are to learn what God is like. Truth brings hope. Romans 15, verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scripture may have hope. We have to learn distinguishing right from wrong. We need to separate truth from error. We need to learn discernment. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. We are to look up, aim high, and seek the heavenly things. We are to set our affection on things that pleases our Lord. Colossians 3, verse 1 to 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Row number 3, servant of the Most High. We are called to be servants of the Almighty God. When you're going to school, you're studying diligently to glorify God. When you're working, you're doing things faithfully to honor your heavenly master. When you retire, you can help, encourage, pray, counsel, advise, teach, share your experience, and mentor. So no matter what stage of life we are at, ultimately, we are serving Christ our Lord. Colossians 3:23-24. And whatsoever ye do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto man, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Many of the Apostle Paul's epistles, he called himself a servant of Jesus Christ. For example, Romans 1:1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. 2 Corinthians 4:5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. When we serve Christ, it doesn't have to be shakers and movers of the world. Christ is pleased if you're willing to serve and your service is done in his name. Your simple deed would not go unnoticed, and you will receive the heavenly reward. Mark chapter 9, verse 41. For whatsoever shall give you a cup or water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ. Verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. And also in Matthew 25, verse 31 to 40, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goat on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Verse 37. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee in hunger and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drinks? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Though ultimately we are to serve God, that service is usually translated into our serving one another, having a keen sense of others who have needs in God's family. Charity is our Christian love in action. Galatians 5:13, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Other than the family of God, we also need to keep the needy in the rest of our society. Hebrews 13:2. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Rule number 4, soldiers of the Lord. Every Christian has been enlisted in the army of God. Be ready to go through boot camp training. Be ready to face hardship and obstacles. Be ready to endure oppositions and counterattacks. Our chief commander is Jesus Christ, our Lord. 2 Timothy 2:3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Every day we are engaging in spiritual warfare. Our enemy is Satan and his fallen angels. Their chief weapons are falsehood, half-truth, deceptions, and lies. We can defend Satan's attack by wearing the armor that God provided. Ephesians chapter 6, 10 to 17. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestled not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Finally, we come to row number 5, sojourners of this world. A sojourner is a person who stays or resides temporarily. The world is only our temporary dwelling place. Our home is in heaven. Our Lord has prepared a place for us all. John 14, verse 1 to 3. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Since we are only sojourners in this world, our goals in life should be aligned with our transient status. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 21. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Carnal Christians try to have the best of both worlds, but the Bible definitely teaches us otherwise. 1 John 2:15 to 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We are sojourners on this earth, but we are also pilgrims. One day we are going home, where we spend eternity in the presence of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, if you are ignorant of your basic roles as Christian, because of your age and understanding, God might look the other way. Now that you know the basic roles to be sower, servant, soldiers, sojourners, practice and fulfill these divine responsibilities. If you are here this morning and don't know Christ as your Savior, he is giving you an opportunity to know him, to love him, and to worship him. All you have to do is to acknowledge that you are a sinner in need of his grace. Repent of your sins, and by faith, believe that he died on the cross of Calvary to pay the penalty of your sins, and accept him as your Lord and Savior. 2 Peter 3:9. Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us word, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Also John chapter 3, 14 to 17. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Steve, can I ask you to close in prayer? And then we will close with the hymn 540 in the red hymnal afterwards.
Father, we thank thee for this clear-cut message of salvation and the responsibility that we each have before a holy and a righteous God. And Father, we must confess before thee, if we are honest, that we have neglected so often these roles. Help us, we pray, this day to choose whom we shall serve and to serve with all our hearts. For we ask it in our Savior's name. Amen.
Thank you. We all turn to 540 in the red note.